I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for murders that defy explanation, mystery seeking exploration, and shocking secrets that will leave you breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
See Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app.
Now, back to You Better You Bet with Nick Costos, presented by BetMGM on Westwood One Sports.
Bring it up, Laura. Hour. You Better You Bet on Westwood One Sports. Nick Costos, our amazing crew, Joey Knish, and you. The Power Hour and every hour here on You Better You Bet, brought to you by BetMGM. Make it legendary by downloading the BetMGM app and visiting BetMGM.com. Coming up later this hour, we will get to everything going on in Major League Baseball. Curtis Meade's fractured wrist for the Boston Red Sox and what that means moving forward, and why Bryce Harper and me, your boy, Nick Costos, are in full agreement as to what the Philadelphia Phillies need to do as we approach Monday's trade deadline. Bets for tonight will close the show. We look forward to that. And we do have a piece of breaking news in the National Football League, which will be a recurring theme as training camps are open all around the league and teams start practicing. Oh, yeah. We are through the malaise of summer, and now we have football back. Patrick Mahomes is in to start 11-on-11 drills for the Kansas City Chiefs. So right at the start of training camp, Patrick Mahomes participating in 11-on-11. I told you, and I could still be wrong, but I told you, the day that the schedule came out, Chiefs-Broncos Monday Night Football on ESPN, ESPN's got the Super Bowl this year. Do you think if they felt Justin Fields were going to be the quarterback in week one, it would be Chiefs, Broncos, Monday Night Football week one? Come on. He could have a setback. He could get hurt again. Who knows? Patrick Mahomes is going to play week one. And I think the Chiefs will be right back in the mix to win the Super Bowl this season. But joining us right now to talk, maybe we'll do some NFL with our friend Joey Knish, but certainly talk this year's college football season. Mr. Knish is Mr. Big Ten, and Big Ten Media Day is underway right now in the lovely city of Chicago. Pro sports better from the Hammer. Hit the Books is the college football betting show with our friend Brad Powers, a great college football betting show. The legendary Joey Knish on Twitter at JoeyKnish22. My friend, welcome back to the show. How has summer treated you?
Nicky, baby, good to be back on. No place I'd rather be. You know what? We're getting the feels right now. World Cup is over. Summer coming to a little bit of a close. And in the the Midwest, I'm actually driving through some cornfields right now. It's getting, you getting that? I'm about to strap the pads on and go hit somebody on the side of the road. It's getting that feeling for the old pigskin back in the air. Can't wait.
This is the duality of man right here, because while my friend Joey Knish is absolutely psychotic, he's crazy, and I mean that in a positive way, I'm crazy too, you also get the side of him where during the World Cup, he's tweeting like he was born and raised in, you know, in Derby Town, like using all the soccer. You love it, and I love it too, and I love that about you. I'm guessing you saw the news here from The Athletic. It's not done yet, but apparently Mauricio Pochettino is close to a deal to return as the head coach of the United States men's national team through the 2030 World Cup. Before we get to football, Knish, your thought on this football story with Pochettino potentially coming back to run American soccer?
You know what? I'll eat some crow on this one. With the when they originally hired him, and like halfway through the cycle, when it looked like we were, I was like, this is a disaster. He just wants out. He took the money. But I have to say, overall, I'm in. If he wants another 4 years, I'm a little surprised. He would were you up to it? I thought he was gone. I thought the team was playing pretty. And you know what? In terms of our talent level, I thought they kind of maxed out what was realistic. You would have liked to seen him get to a little bit, you know, one more layer, beat Belgium, get to a quarterfinal or something. But all in all, I like it. And in terms of, you know, options that would be out there, it's always a little sticky with national team hires. So for me, I'm with it. I think, you know, you give him another four. The team seemed to like him, seemed to be, you know, gelling in that. And so, hey, we can get through an actual cycle where we're really going to have to qualify this time around. I'm all in. I'd take four more years of Poch, hands down.
I completely agree, and I'd be super excited if and when that is confirmed. After this interview, I will get into, I'm just going to say what the news is now, and I'll talk about it at the end of the interview. More bad news for the Carolina Panthers. Rookie wide receiver out of Tennessee, Chris Brazel, being carted off the practice field. Remember, Nick Scorton lost for the season already with the torn ACL. We don't know if Brazel is seriously injured. But just wanted to bring that story to you, and I'll talk about why it matters at the end of this segment. But Kanish, we have you on here to talk some college football ahead of the season because, you know, we had SEC media days recently, Big Ten media days right now. And if you look at the odds board right now at our show sponsor, BetMGM, three of the top five teams to win the national championship all emanate from the Big Ten, right? And the Big Ten has won the last three national championships. Those teams, Ohio State, Indiana, and Oregon, three of the top five teams on the odds board this season. Do you see it that way, Kanish, like the betting market does, that this is a, obviously there are other good teams, but that this is essentially a three-team conference at the top this season, the Big Ten?
Yeah, no, and I'm with you. And you know what? I loved our boy Brett Bielema's quote the other day. He said, the SEC still thinks it's 2006. It's a new day, baby. This is the premier college football conference, and I think it's only going to continue that way. I mean, follow the money. That's where it's going to be. I think it's going to be in the Big Ten. I think they've got the richest programs. They got the best TV deal. And so, yeah, I'm with you, where to me, I think your national champion – again, comes from the Big Ten. You can sell me on Notre Dame, too, getting in there. But, yeah, just in terms of where the Big Ten lands this year, I agree. You could have some teams, you know, on the fringe that if everything, you know, went right, maybe you're in Ann Arbor that, you know, could get a little squeaky. But, no, I just thought, yeah, I'm with you. Those three teams at the top are where it's going to be. And I think those three teams are not only where your Big Ten champion comes from, where your national champion comes from.
If you had to back one of those top three horses in the Big Ten to win the national championship this season, Kanish, and I'll give the betting odds for context at BetMGM. Ohio State is the favorite, plus 600. Indiana, the reigning defending national champions, will never not be weird to say that. Indiana, plus 750. Dan Lanning, Dante Moore, and Oregon at plus 800. If you had to back one of those three, who is it and why?
I'll give you the one that not only would I would back, I actually have backed with my own USD here. The only national championship bet I have put in preseason is on the Oregon Ducks. I think they're absolutely and it's not only I'd like that they've got the frontline premier talent, it's a depth piece too. I think you've got multiple options at quarterback, you've got defensive line, and you know what? You've got kind of that like that bust through that anger. You know, Indiana, it's really tough, I think, in today's era now, with all the movement and with all of the, you know, to go back to back. I think Indiana will still be very good. I think Ohio State will still be very good. But it feels like, for me, I think Oregon's the best of those three. And when you factor in the price, too, where you're getting a little bit longer odds on the team that I think is going to be the best of the three, Oregon Ducks, for me, the only natty future I've placed and the one that I would be recommending right now but going into the preseason.
What are your expectations this year, Kanish, for the national champion Indiana Hoosiers with Josh Hoover taking over as quarterback for Fernando Mendoza?
I'm never going to think, you know, a Kurt Cignetti. I just think the program is too buttoned up right now, too good to have. I don't think there's going to be a fall off. I got to tell you, though, anytime you go from a number one overall pick, you know, level quarterback who was very good, not only was Mendoza, physically talented, he had, like, all the mental aspects there. Josh Hoover, I think, is a nice college player, a player that can come in and still keep things rolling in terms of them, you know, making the playoff and that. Is he a national championship quarterback for me? No. And I think, you know, they obviously they lost a number of talent, you know, skills, and they very good in the transfer portal. I love Nick Marsh, who they got over from Michigan State in terms of wide receiver. So they did a nice job backfilling some. Just tough for me with the quarterback downgrade. And, I mean, it's a brutal thing to go back to be anybody and go back-to-back. It's tough in this era. But I think Indiana takes a bit of a step back for me. Can still make the playoff, but not a natty contender.
Why not Ohio State?
I'll tell you why. It's because, number one, I'm a salty Michigan fan. That's why. But number two is really, I think, yes, in terms of, I would not, again, do I think Ohio State can win it? But if you want to tell me this is the team at the top of the board, I don't love Julian Sain in terms of, like, I don't think he's elite at the quarterback position. They always have a lot of skill talent. I still got a couple of questions on defense where I think it can be a good defense, not great. But in terms of price relative to expectations, when you're talking about the team at the very, very top, I don't think Ohio State, as I have them ranked, is right there relative to price. I think it's one there, especially early season. And I'll give you, like, I do think Texas gets them this year. And if you want to bet on Ohio State, if I'm looking at it, I would rather wait and see if they get, you know, slip up in that Texas game. The odds come down because then their margin for error is going to go way down for the rest of the season and buy at that point. So not one preseason. Can they win it? Of course. But in terms of actually putting a bet in preseason, not for me.
Take your pick. The fourth best team this year in the Big Ten will be A, Michigan, your Wolverines with Kyle Whittingham now coaching, Bryce Underwood at quarterback. B, USC with Gary Patterson out of retirement to coach the defense. Or C, a school that I have not mentioned, and why?
I'm going to tell you who's a little bit, I think we'll call it a little sneaky. And there is, I like, and I don't know if it's even sneaky, but you can jump in on Penn State there because of all the continuity that they're bringing over, which I think matters so much in college football these days. Do they have maybe the highest level premium talent as, you know, some of the other programs we mentioned? No. But when you talk about we're bringing so many guys over from Iowa State and having so much of that continuity mixed in with some of the guys that remain there, if I had to pick between those, if I'm talking Michigan, Penn State, or USC, I think I would give the slight nod to Penn State. Michigan, I maybe the ceiling's up there, but I got to see it, especially after, you know, some of the question marks in the offseason and Bryce Underwood there. I think it could go. That's pretty high variance. It could go a number of ways. And you know what? USC now, I could see a little bit more of the bottom falling out there on the official, you know, Lincoln Riley era at USC, where maybe it goes south. And that maybe I'm not saying it's over, but I think there's a potential that what the expectations were when they hired them to what we've gotten so far, if it goes, I mean, if they go, you know, seven, eight wins or worse, that seat's going to be cooking.
Pro sports bettor Joey Kanish on the show, host of Hit the Books with our pal Brad Powers as part of the Hammer Sports Betting Network. He's on Twitter at JoeyKanish22. Kanish, give us a bet that you like for a school in the Big Ten. Could be a win total, could be to win the comp, whatever it is that we have not yet discussed and why you like it.
You know what? Let's go a little win total action here. And I got to tell you, I think, no, this is going to be a tough one to say. Michigan State is a little bit undervalued in year one in Pat Fitzgerald, where everybody's way down on them. And don't get me wrong, the Johnson Smith era ended rough. It was a rough one. But I think Pat Fitzgerald, who is maybe not a guy to get them, like, I'm not talking about this team's going to be back to the playoff or any point, but there was a decent amount, especially like at quarterback. I know they got rid of Aiden Childs, but There's a decent amount of returning talent, enough for me, and I think Pat Fitzgerald is a floor raiser. Maybe not a ceiling raiser, but a floor raiser where I think he can get this team back to bowl eligibility, 5 wins, a little couple of non-con games that I think they should get in the bag. For me, I took some Michigan State over 4.5. There's some decent good plus money out there on over 4.5. I think Pat Fitz can get them to 5-7, maybe even 6-6 in a bowl win. As a team that, when you're playing that Pat Fitz ball, I think you can kind of ugly it up and compete in a lot of games. And you know what? He took a lesser program in Northwestern and was able to get them on solid footing. I know a lot's changed, but for me, I think they'll be back to at least respectability this year, and the market's having them down at the way, way bottom, and I don't see it totally.
Who's going to win the SEC this year?
This is a great one. And I got to tell you, we have talked about this on Hit the Book. I'm telling you, I think there's 7-8 options here. And I know that, do I think it'll be Georgia or Texas? Probably. But you could sell me down the board on legitimately 7 or 8 teams that I think have a shot. So for me, if I'm making a bet, right, do I think, gun to my head, who's actually going to win it? I would lean Texas. If I'm making a bet at the prices are out there, I got to tell you, I think Oklahoma's got the best defense. I think they've got a real shot at the best defense in the country, and they're kind of around 10-1 out there in the market. If I'm making a bet, I'm going with that price-wise as opposed to going to the top of the board, because I think that defense is real deal. And John Mateer, hopefully he was, I think he was banged up for a lot of last year and his performance declined. You can get the offense going a little bit, and I think that defense is as good as it gets right now. So Oklahoma around 10-1 for me to win the SEC. I've sprinkled a bit.
Kanish, I know you guys have talked about it this summer, been one of the hot-button teams, period, this summer, even going back to last season in college football with all the Lane Kiffin mess. LSU. Win total is 8.5. No is -190 for LSU to make the college football playoff, which I think is a little interesting, right, with all the hype and Sam Leavitt and Lane Kiffin now taking over in Death Valley. What about your expectations for the Lane train in LSU year one in Baton Rouge?
You know what? I think what we'll call like the public or the narrative or the casual expectations are probably a bit higher than what the betting market is telling you this team is. And even Lane has been a little... I think he's trying to pacify expectations a bit, in where this is probably more of, an 8-win team than it is where people are thinking Lane Kiffin year one, we're spending a bunch of money, 10, 11 wins, national title contender. I don't think this is a national title contender. And we'll give you a little extra sauce here. Week one, Clemson, we gave this out on Hit the Books end of last week. Clemson at anything over 10. There's 10 of 10.5. There's a couple of 11.5, 11 out there. That's a bet, week one. I think that game's going to be much more competitive than the market's showing right now, and I think that's one that as we get closer to kick will come down. I'm not even that much of a Clemson buyer, but you know what? Lane, week one, I think that could be one that we're going late there where it's going to be a competitive game. Anything over double digits on Clemson week one, well, a little bit of a Lane fade week one.
Give us a team, Kanish, that we have not yet discussed, that you are either higher on than the betting market is or lower on than the betting market is.
This is going to be, we'll square it up for the first one. I just think Texas Tech is far and away the best team in the Big 12. And I played them. Anything with a plus sign on them to win the Big 12 has been a bet for me. That's probably of the offseason. And I know the Brennan Sorsby thing, and they've got the questions with Will Hammond's health, that quarterback. I think Hammond will be good enough, especially if he's early on. They've got a couple of layups too early in terms of some easy games, so they can give him a bit of a time. And their schedule lines up where I don't think there's any way they're not in the Big 12 championship game. And if you're getting a plus, they're going to be at least a touchdown favorite if they make it to that game. And I just think we're talking about a program talent-wise that is so far and away above the rest of the Big 12. And what's happened at some of the second-tier programs, Utah takes a step back. I think BYU takes a step back. I think TCU takes a step back. So for me, Texas Tech, anything with a plus, I see some plus 100 out there to get to win the Big 12 championship, I think is very much worth a bet, regardless of the quarterback situation.
Final question, Kanish. You have made headlines in the past on this show and others for, either being very right or spectacularly wrong about Heisman Trophy thoughts at this point on the calendar. It is still July, to be fair. So I'll give you a bunch of names at the top of the odds board at BetMGM. Maybe you like one of them. Maybe you like some. I know you know the odds, all of them, right? Maybe you like someone a little lower. So we have co-favorites right now to win the Heisman Trophy. This might surprise some people, right? Arch Manning is one of the co-favorites. That won't surprise anybody. Notre Dame quarterback C.J. Carr is the other co-favorite, both plus 750. Ole Miss's Trinidad Chambliss, who's back in Oxford for another year, plus 900. Ohio State quarterback Julian Sayin at 11-1, along with new Miami quarterback replacing Carson Beck, the former Duke quarterback Darian Mensah. Oregon's Dante Moore and Indiana's Josh Hoover and Ohio State's Jeremiah Smith, the receiver, at 12-1. Georgia quarterback Gunnar Stockton at 16. Is it one of those names, Kanish, or somebody else is your favorite bet right now to win the Heisman Trophy?
Yeah, I hate to square, but you know what? The top of the board, I think, is super. Unlike last year, where I was kind of, you know, taking some prices around, I think the two names right at the top there are going to be tough. From one, I think Notre Dame is going to be very, very good. And C.J. Carr, I got to give it to Powers. He's been saucing him up since the kid was a recruit. Is going to be, I think, potentially the number one pick in next year's draft. I think you got to have a little bit of a leg up on him right now to be next year's number one pick. So he's up there. And you've got the Arch Manning PR brigade, where they spent so heavily on weapons for him this offseason. And I think they're really going to try and go all in on the Texas offense this year. And everybody, I mean, and Arch, even the, you know, a casual guy who doesn't want to call it, knows the name Arch Manning. So when you have those two names at the top of the board, it's going to be really tough for somebody else, especially if Notre Dame and Texas are, you know, winning 10, 11 games and producing on offense to sneak in there. So, yeah, I haven't done too much farther down. Maybe one name a little bit kind of farther mid-tier, Aaron Filo from Florida. Offense could be a bit exciting. Newt comes in. He put up some great numbers at Georgia Tech from like a – you know, just a passing standpoint. So get him in. They've got some talented wide receivers in Florida. Maybe a sprinkle on Aaron Filo down the board. But, yeah, for me, you're giving me who's going to win, I think it's Carr Manning at the top.
Final question, Kanish. Who's going to win? Because you are a noted Detroit sports fan. You love the Michigan Wolverines. You love the Detroit Lions. Who's going to win the NFC North this season?
You already know who's going to win. I heard you.
It's not, but it's not the Lions. I'm out on the Lions. I'm out.
I heard, trust me, I heard you saucing up the, you know, you with your Viking horn in the studio, the trying to be, oh, Kyler Murray, he's going to get revamped. I'll tell you what, week one, dump. Dump da 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 dum. The pack go into Minnesota and bury your Vikings week one. My favorite bet of week one there for an NFC North teaser. The pack to go in and take those clowns in the purple all the way down, my friend.
While we're here on the subject of week one, did you see the my favorite week one bet? And if not, I will share it with you right now. I'd love to get your opinion on it. I don't know how people that, like, it doesn't mean the bet's going to win, but people that I respect, I would be shocked if anyone disagreed with my methodology behind this. And maybe I'm setting up to be let down here. So tell me how, Kanish, the LA Chargers, with all the hype with Mike McDaniel, right? And how this offense is going to be something completely different, right? And the tackles are going to be back. The hype train is roaring on the Chargers. They're favored with zero home field advantage by 10.5 against Arizona in week one. It's not much of a road trip from Arizona to LA. The Chargers have no home field advantage. Jacoby Brissett is a more than competent start. He's not great, but he's a competent starting quarterback. There are absolutely weapons on offense to work with. The defensive coordinator was retained. And if they're healthy this year, I'm not saying they're good. They're going to be great. They're not one of like the three or four worst teams in the league. The point spread's 10.5. Am I crazy? Like, how is Cardinals not 10.5 the best bet of week one in LA against the Chargers?
You know what? We might be on different sides of the Green Bay, Minnesota. but I'm with you there. I love the filthy dog there in week one. I'm with you totally. I think the numbers, as you said, no home field there. Cardinals probably. Jacoby Brissett, hey, they got him signed. They've got some options at wide receiver. Again, I'm not saying they're winning out right here, but yeah, I'm with you. I mean, there's even a couple 11.5s out there. I'm with you. Anything double digits there week one, I will be rolling with Nikki K on the cards.
Hit the Books is the show with Joey Knish and our pal Brad Powers as part of the Hammer Betting Network. It is an awesome college football betting show, and we may rate his Twitter account R, but it's still worth a follow at Joey Knish 22. Thank you very much, my friend. Stay well. We'll catch up soon.
Sounds good.
what a close off from our friend Joey Knish. So that's it from our pal. All right. A lot to chew on there in college football. I've got some thoughts on how Ohio State, Indiana, and Oregon, if they don't get it done, what will the reason be? And we're expecting, or it hasn't happened yet, but today, tomorrow, Kurt Cignetti, Dan Lanning, Ryan Day will all address the media. So we're going to talk a lot about it tomorrow on the show as well. We'll do some Big Ten on the show tomorrow. I have some thoughts on USC, Penn State, Michigan that I can't wait to share with everybody. So we'll do a little bit of Big Ten on the other side with the three teams at the top. And then Major League Baseball. Trade deadline coming up in 5 days. Wait till you hear what Bryce Harper had to say after the Phillies game last night. We'll tell you about it next here on a Wednesday.
The NBA has reshaped in one summer. LeBron and Jaylen Brown are in Philly. Giannis is headed to Miami. Paul George is a Celtic. And that's just the Eastern Conference. Who will challenge the Knicks for the NBA crown? Westwood One Sports.
I love days like these at the pool, but my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis can sometimes take me out of the moment. I'm ready to make a splash with clearer skin thanks to Skyrizi, Risankizumab Riza. Skyrizi is a prescription-only injection for adults who are candidates for systemic or phototherapy. At 4 months, most people saw 90% clearer skin when measured from head to toe, and many were even 100% plaque-free. People also saw significant improvement in psoriasis symptoms of pain, redness, itching, and burning.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions, increased infections, or lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, get checked for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor about any flu-like symptoms or vaccines.
Now there's nothing on my skin, thanks to Skyrizi. And that means everything. Ask your doctor about Skyrizi, the number one dermatologist-prescribed biologic in psoriasis. Visit Skyrizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
In the automotive industry, time and trust mean everything. Miss an electrical problem, and it can mean big problems for your operation. That's why NAPA believes in testing the five critical components in every vehicle: the battery, starter, alternator, relay, and serpentine belt. And why we deliver the parts, tools, and expertise you need to catch problems before they become breakdowns. So test every vehicle and trust the name that keeps your bays busy and your business moving full speed ahead. NAPA knows.
If the world were like a Sleep Number mattress, everything would adapt for your comfort. Your coffee would never get cold. Your flight would always be on time. And your mattress would always respond to you and your unique sleep needs. Sleep Number mattresses are designed to respond to your body and shift with your changing life, helping you fall asleep faster and stay asleep longer. To experience a whole new world of comfort, visit a Sleep Number store or go to sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number.
It's Sophia with an F, Franklin with the Y, and if you're looking for some bubblegum dum-dum podcast, then you are in the wrong place, baby. Whether I'm reminiscing on the trials and tribulations of working in the corporate world to recapping today's latest reality TV show, you're going to want to pull up a chair and stick around. It's a good time and always 100% unfiltered. Follow and listen to Sophia with an F wherever you get your podcasts.
800-785-9132.
Now, back to You Better You Bet with Nick Costos, presented by BetMGM on Westwood One Sports.
This segment on You Better You Bet, sponsored by Progressive Commercial Insurance, protecting your business vehicles 24/7. See if you can save at ProgressiveCommercial.com, ProgressiveCommercial.com. Tons of NFL news breaking throughout the show today. This will be a recurring theme over the next month or so. We told you during the Joey Kanish interview, Chris Brazel, the third-round wide receiver of the Carolina Panthers, who's got a freaky size-speed combo, always questions, right, wrong, or indifferent, probably right, about Tennessee wide receivers coming out of college and the system that the Vols play in. So questions, can Brazel acclimate to the next level? How's he going to be catching passes from Bryce Young? We don't know the extent of his injury. Maybe he'll return to practice today. I don't know. But he was carted off. And that sucks for Carolina. And it sucks for Bryce Young. Because that skill set that Brazel brings to the table is different from a lot of what they've got going on in this receiving core, right? And you could make the case, if Brazel can give you something as a rookie, wow, like here's Brazel and Teneroa McMillan, the offensive rookie of the year. Jalen Coker got a nice contract. He's really good. Shout out to the Cokeheads out there, the Jalen Coker fans. Can Xavier Leggett do anything for you, the former first-round pick? Hopefully, Chris Brazel is not out for a long time. The Panthers have already lost young stud edge rusher Nick Scorton for the season to a torn ACL. We hope Chris Brazel is back in short order for the Carolina Panthers. And we were talking about the Atlanta Falcons earlier in the show. And Tua Tagovailoa's back injury. Penix won't be cleared for a month. Someone named Jack Strand. Jack Strand. Sounds like the main character in a Michael Crichton novel. Jack Strand is currently QB1 at Falcons training camp. Cooper Rush has just been signed. He'll be the QB1, I am sure, tomorrow. How about this out of Atlanta and Detroit? The presumptive first and second overall picks in every fantasy football draft this summer, in whatever order you want to take them in, Jahmyr Gibbs of the Lions and Atlanta's Bijan Robinson are both holding in right now. Both want new contracts. My sense is they will both get it. Bijan is one of the best running backs, if not the best running back in the league. Jahmyr Gibbs is one of the best running backs, if not the best running back in the league. Both running backs, absolutely vital and crucial to its team's offensive success this season. So it's a story for now. If I had to bet, and I am a betting man, I would guess that both guys get new contracts before the start of the regular season. But did want to get that reporting in that Jahmyr Gibbs and Bijan Robinson holding in at their respective training camps. Back to college football, then we'll get into some Major League Baseball as we approach the trade deadline. We'll play some sound for you tomorrow on the show as more Big Ten coaches address the media in Chicago at Media Day. But I wanted to offer this on the top three schools in the Big Ten, because I find it very interesting that you can look at Ohio State, Oregon, and Indiana, and pretty clearly poke a big hole in each team's chances of winning a national championship. They are three of the top five teams on the odds board. The Big Ten, I know it's a huge conversation in college football circles, college football shows. Has the Big Ten replaced the SEC as the preeminent conference in college football? The last three national championship winners would seem to say yes. And again, Ohio State, Oregon, and Indiana, three of the top five teams on the odds board to win this year's Natty. So one big reason here why each of these teams could fall short of its ultimate goal. For Indiana, it's an easy one, right? Can Josh Hoover, the transfer quarterback from TCU, can he give you 80% of what Fernando Mendoza gave last year? That might sound like I'm insulting Hoover. I don't think it is. Mendoza won the Heisman, won the national championship, and was the first pick in the draft. Can Hoover possibly live up to those standards? If he does, Indiana can absolutely go back-to-back. I think Charlie Becker is going to have a monster year catching the ball in this Indiana offense. So Hoover, the question mark in Indiana. For Oregon, and Dan Lanning and Dante Moore, who returns so much talent. Kanish just told you, the only team he's bet to win the Natty is Oregon. Can they beat the best teams? That's the book on Oregon. They destroy everybody except for the very best teams every year. Can they scale that final mountain? Can they slay Ohio State? Can they slay Indiana this year? If they can, they can win the Natty. And for Ohio State, Ryan Day strikes me as the type of guy that like bungled his way into, you know, like stealing the Maltese Falcon or like the Mona Lisa from the Louvre and got away with it and was lucky to get away with it. And then decides the next morning, you know what? I'm going to hit him today for a Monet. I'm going back. Last year, a lot of us questioned we were wrong. What the hell is he thinking hiring Matt Patricia to run his defense? To be fair, Matt Patricia was awesome calling the defense last year. The Ohio State defense was like the 85 Bears of college football. They were amazing. The offense just couldn't get it together in the playoffs, right? Against Miami and then in the Big Ten title game against Indiana. Do you know, dear listener, dear viewer, are you aware of who is the offensive coordinator this year at Ohio State? Do you know who it is? If you don't, you're in for a treat. It is former Atlanta Falcons head coach, last year called the plays on offense in Pittsburgh, Arthur Smith is the offensive coordinator this year for Ohio State, which probably means Jeremiah Smith will basically be a decoy. I don't know if like the NIL rules, can they sign Jonnu Smith to play this year? Can Tyler Allgeier play for the Cardinals on Sunday, but then run the ball for Ohio State on Saturdays? We know what Arthur Smith wants to do. Take the best players on offense and not give them the ball because he's smarter than everybody else. To be fair, I thought Patricia would be a disaster. I was wrong. Also, they had a million draft picks, but still, I was wrong. I can't wait to see if I'm going to be wrong about Arthur Smith. So those are the three big teams in the Big Ten, all with big-time question marks entering this season. You better you bet on this Wednesday, Nick Costos and you, Westwood One Sports, to the diamond. Last night in Major League Baseball, the Philadelphia Phillies got blanked by Sandy Alcantara and the Miami Marlins. The Phillies lost 1-0. It is their fourth consecutive series loss. The Phillies have lost 8 of 11 games, and in 6 of those 11 games, the Phillies have scored 1 run or fewer, prompting Philly star Bryce Harper to tell the media this after last night's loss.
Yeah, I mean, I think we need some help, you know, but, you know, I think we've proved, you know, pretty much all year we've done a pretty good job, but, you know, anytime you can, you know, get some help in here and reinforcements, I think it helps.
Bryce Harper is basically telling Dave Dombrowski and Preston Mattingly, you know, Don's son. It's actually true. Hey, can we get another bat, please? We can't score any runs. We need some help here if we're really going to contend in the National League. And I've been saying this for a while now on this show. The Phillies, with their frontline starting pitching and having made the move to dismiss Rob Thompson and Don Mattingly as the manager, like, they are ready to potentially contend with the Dodgers to win the NL. And if you win the NL, like, I think the winner of the National League is going to win the World Series. And they can absolutely do it with the frontline starting pitching. They got to go do something. Have to. Now, Byron Buxton, dealing with, like, a hip back issue for the Minnesota Twins right now, to me, this kind of reads as, yeah, maybe he's hurt. Also, maybe we'll trade him. And let's keep him on ice for a little bit. The Phillies, assuming Byron Buxton's healthy, go get Byron Buxton. Just, like, make this easy and have your nice trip through October where they could absolutely, again, the pitching's there. I like the manager. You need another bat. Go get Byron Buxton. Go get him. Assuming he's healthy. And I think the Phillies will be cooking with gas come October. Also in Major League Baseball, the Boston Red Sox, and we talked about yesterday the fact that Curtis Meade, who the Red Sox acquired from the Nationals in exchange for 24-year-old pitcher Connelly Early, got hit by a pitch on Monday against the Athletics, but x-rays came back negative. I'd love to know who took those x-rays, because further inspection on Curtis Meade showed that he actually has a fractured left wrist. On the 10-day injured list, who knows how long he'll be out for, feels like a while. He's described himself as being like catatonic at this news. Like literally gets traded, the next big thing in Boston to help this team, who I think will absolutely be a playoff team come October, and he's already injured. Remember what I said yesterday on the show, what I said Monday on the show. Curtis Meade, I know a lot of people dislike the deal. I liked it for Boston. Worthy, roll of the dice, swing of the bat. You've got a bunch of good pitchers already. Connelly early was good, not great against the Yankees in the wild card round last year. I didn't mind the deal for either team. And I thought this was a worthy gamble for the Red Sox. But what I said is they need to do more. Because the AL's wide open, and if Garrett Crochet comes back before the end of the season, if Roman Anthony can come back before the end of the season, in a weak, watered-down American League, Boston can make a run. I said that when I thought Curtis Meade was going to be playing for the Red Sox. So with Meade out now for an undetermined period of time, Craig Breslow, pick up the phone, make something happen. Because the Red Sox can make some noise in October in this bad American League. Last note on baseball. Only lost by two touchdowns last night with my Orioles bet. 14-0 at the hands of the Detroit Tigers. Now, my sense is still that the Tigers will trade Tarik Skubal before the deadline. And that brings us to the LA Dodgers, who are getting healthier in addition to just being awesome. Kike Hernandez is back for the Dodgers. Edwin Diaz is going to be activated today, we think, from the injured list. Blake Snell could be back next week. Will Smith could be back soon after slapping Chris Rock in the face and winning a World Series. Tyler Glasnow could be back next month. So it looks like they'll be healthy rolling into October. But the big question right now with the Dodgers, is Shohei Ohtani going to be healthy enough to pitch again? Hasn't pitched since July 3rd. If he is, I mean, come on. We saw what they did last October. Like, it's even more ridiculous this October. But my strong belief and feeling of the Dodgers is, leave no doubt, even if Ohtani can pitch again, even if he can, leave no doubt, our show sponsor on BetMGM, BetMGM likes to say, make it legendary. I challenge the Los Angeles Dodgers to be legendary and go trade for Tarik Skubal. Go do it. Make it happen. And go for that third consecutive World Series title. The trade deadline, 5 days away. And we are now seconds away from hearing from our executive producer, Bill Zimmerman, with the trivia question of the day. Bill, the time has come. How are you? Welcome back.
Thank you, Nick. Let's jump right into it, because you started the show talking about the fact that Kirk Cousins right now is slated to be the week one starter and not Fernando Mendoza, a decision you're not a fan of. But Mendoza was the 20th quarterback taken first overall this century. And if Kirk Cousins does in fact start week one, that will make Mendoza the 7th quarterback out of those 20 to not start the opening week of the season. Can you name the other 6?
Okay, are you ready for this? Okay, so Michael Vick did start, right? His first game? Or no, oh, he didn't. Right? So Vick is the first. Okay. Okay, David Carr did. He did start the opener. So he's not.
David Carr started them all.
John Kitna did for the Bengals. So Carson Palmer's one.
Carson Palmer started all 16.
He did that year. John Kitna didn't start for the Bengals his rookie year?
I'll double check it at the break, but when I was looking up, it was all.
Someone looked this up. I think Bill's wrong about this. I think John Kitna started to begin the season for the Bengals. Carson Palmer's rookie year. Kurt Warner started the season for the Giants.
Correct. Eli Manning's one.
Did Alex Smith start for San Francisco? Okay, so Alex Smith is another. Who did? Like JT O'Sullivan?
I'll have to look it up.
Yeah, John Kitna did start, so you're wrong. Great job with your question. All right, so Kitna's one of them. Carson Palmer is one of them. Let's see. What else do we got? Did Jamarcus start?
No.
No.
He only started one game in his rookie year.
Was it Tui Asisopo?
That might be right.
Which is ridiculous. So how many more do I need? Mahomes wasn't the first overall pick. How many more do I have?
You need two more.
I need two more. Okay. Burrow did. Caleb did.
It was not Tui Asisopo, but it is a well-known quarterback.
Who was it for
the Raiders?
Who was it?
Dante Culpepper.
Okay, that's really, really, really funny. Cam Newton did. Andrew Luck did. You know what? Jared Goff is another. Didn't start.
Jared Goff is another. You got one more.
Jameis started, right, to begin his career in Tampa.
Yes, he did.
All right, we'll take a break just in the interest of time, and I will attempt to get the final one on the other side, and we'll wrap up the show with our bets right after this.
The wait is over. Every NFL team is now in training camp. Football is back, and so are the storylines. We'll keep you on top of it all. Happy football season, everybody. Westwood One Sports.
My Lowe's Pro Rewards members, save big during Lowe's Pro Savings Days. Get your member volume discount plus an extra 5% off eligible orders with a quote of $2,000 or more. And buy more and save more with up to 20% off in-stock molding when you spend $250 or more. Members get more at Lowe's. Valid through 7/31. Exclusions, more terms, and restrictions apply. Can't be combined with any contract or special pricing. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Visit the Pro Desk or Lowe's.com/terms for more details. Subject to change.
Doug. Hot dog! Get your hot dog!
Customize! Customize and save with Liberty Mutual.
Hey, what are you doing?
I like your method. Direct. To the point. A little loud, but...
Listen, people don't buy car insurance the same way they do hot dogs.
Not yet, but both are customizable.
Popcorn! Get your popcorn!
Hey, this is a hot dog area.
And customize and save area. Get a quote at libertymutual.com or with your local agent.
Liberty, 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 liberty.
Someone had a birthday.
Yep. 50. Can't believe it.
50 years of wisdom.
Great segue. We have a health reminder from the CDC.
Pneumococcal vaccination is recommended for adults 50 or older. Says here, we're over 6 times more likely to be hospitalized with pneumococcal pneumonia than adults under 50.
I don't love those odds.
Same. Look what I found. Pfizer's Prevnar 20 is proven to help protect adults against pneumococcal pneumonia and invasive pneumococcal disease in just one dose, and millions have already gotten it.
Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you have a severe allergy to its ingredients. A weakened immune system may lower your response. Common side effects include injection site pain and swelling, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138. Visit Prevnar20.com or talk to your doctor or pharmacist.
I'm on Prevnar20.com now, scheduling my appointment.
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen, not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
800-785-9132.
Now, back to You Better You Bet with Nick Costos, presented by BetMGM on Westwood One Sports.
Today, BetMGM players will receive a WNBA Odds Boost token. To use the token, add a WNBA wager to your bet slip and activate the token. If you win the wager made with the token, you'll receive extra winnings. Download the BetMGM app today and please gamble responsibly. Thanks to our crew and thanks to our guests today, Danny Parkins, Warren Moon, and Joey Kanish. Bill, the answer has to be Sam Bradford because I've gone through the rest of them and I know that all those quarterbacks started in week one. So is Sam Bradford the final name? First overall
it
pick
is
to not start in week
one. I actually thought Sam Bradford did not start. Sam Bradford started all 16 games his rookie season. I did go back and double check during the break. It was not year two like Carson Palmer where I screwed that one up. But there is a quarterback in the last 10 years that did not start until week four. He came into a game in week three.
Who was it?
Baker Mayfield. Tyrod Taylor.
Oh, that's right. And that was it was the Thursday night game against Sam Darnold and the Jets, and he came in and won the game. Damn it.
That's correct.
That's an easy one with Hugh Jackson as the coach. I should have gotten that right. Was Hugh Jackson the coach?
Or was it Stefanski yet?
No, not Stefanski.
No, it wasn't Stefanski. Yeah,
Freddie Kitchens was the coordinator. I think it was Hugh Jackson, I'm pretty sure. And that was that Browns Jets Thursday night game. And everyone thought that was going to be the next big thing with Baker Mayfield. He's turned out pretty well. So was Sam Darnold. All right, let's get to the bets to wrap up the show. Laura, please drop the dope ass beat. I don't think Bill's going to like this one, but we have to be honest. The Chicago White Sox have been a great story this year, right? First place in the American League Central. No one, I think people liked the White Sox a little bit this year, but I don't think anyone thought playoffs for the White Sox. The New York Yankees have been putting the White Sox in their place the last couple days. Beat them the first two games of this series. Coming up tonight, Cam Schlittler on the mound for the Yankees. And Cam Schlittler is the best pitcher in the American League. Fried Monday, Cole Tuesday, Schlittler tonight. I don't even need to mess with the Yankees to win the game. Let's put the Yankees on the run line. Yankees minus 1.5 tonight on the road against the Chicago White Sox. Even without Bellinger, even with no Judge, even with no Stanton. That does it for the Wednesday edition of the show. I will talk to all of you tomorrow on a tremendous Sports Thursday. Until then, I'm Nick Costos wishing you minimal sweats, winning bets, the absolute very best of luck. Black and Abdallah coming up next.
This is Westwood One Sports.
The cost of mesothelioma treatments can exceed $400,000, and families often face losing their homes and life savings just to pay the bill. The Rights and Claims Department of Flint Cooper has helped victims secure financial support they need to pay for their care and ensure their family's future. If you've been diagnosed with mesothelioma and don't have legal representation, call Flint Cooper now at 800-606-8169. Time is running out for you to file a claim, so don't wait. Call 800-606-8169 for a free consultation.
Indeed presents hires you can't afford to get wrong, like a social media manager.
Did you just post our Q4 earnings to your personal social media?
Oh yeah, used a trending audio and everything.
That's confidential financial data.
Relax, it only went a little viral.
The SEC just commented with the eyeball watching emoji.
This is a job for sponsored jobs.
This is what happens when you don't sponsor your job on Indeed. Next time, get matched with quality candidates with Indeed sponsored jobs.
800-785-9132.
You're listening to Westwood One Sports on WFAN FM HD2 New York. And
hey y'all, I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one. So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast.
Reality Gaze, let's love.